Welcome to Healing Fire Ministries. We believe you will be blessed as you listen to this message. May God bless you.
So today, for a very short time, I want to speak about wrath, envyings, murders, drunkenness, and revelings. And I'm going to add one more that is not in the scripture, and then we will close and enjoy being in Zimbabwe. We are still in Zimbabwe.
Amen.
The gospel is the same everywhere, even in China is the same.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now, Paul says that
uPaulo uthi,
one of the ways that this iniquity wants to come out
indlela ukuthi lo bubi buziveze,
or it manifests itself is through what we call wrath.
Kukhona umhawu.
Now, wrath is explosive or out of control anger and fits of rage. Explosive, out of control anger and fits of rage. Hallelujah. Hello. Some of us sitting here, we have that problem. And it's a serious problem. Mamruti, there are brothers who cannot say, but are married to the type of woman who has this type of problem. And raise up. One brother said to me, do you see this guy here? It was a lady. I don't remember whether she scratched him or beat him, or I can't remember. And sometimes this thing, it comes out on your children. The way you hit your child, it shows that you have a problem. It's a short thing like this. You have swung your leg like that. You have a problem. It's no longer the child, it's you. How can you beat a child that the child will wake up in hospital? It's this iniquity that is living in you. That especially comes out when your child makes you angry. Or your spouse makes you angry. Out of control. Afterwards you say, oh, I'm sorry, I don't know what happened. That's what out of control means. When you did it, it was almost like you were not there. Something takes over you. And you wake up when the rage has gone down. You've got a problem. Don't allow this thing to ruin your life and to ruin the lives around you. Hey, you are a brother. You hit your spouse, you hit your boyfriend, your girlfriend, that she has to go get stitches. That she wakes up in hospital. It's not that I'm a man, you're a fool. You are not a man, you're a fool. And you have a big problem. I always tell the sisters who would care to listen, that if you are in a relationship and a brother lifts his hand, even if he was hitting a fly, just the fact that it looked like, end that thing and go your own way. Some of you are not saying amen. He hasn't hit you. But it looked like
there is
something that is called red flag. Sometimes God shows you a sign before a bad thing happens. In our church, we call them red flags. So the brother is showing you red flags. You are also smiling. One day you will wake up in hospital. One day. Or in a mortuary even. Pastor,
my pastor, I know when he's angry.
Run away early. But pastor, you know, I just love him. Cancel the love. Divorce it.
Divorce.
What type of love that is leading you to your death? Why am I feeling arrows
there?
Tell him, never stop shooting at my pastor with your face. Your angry face is disturbing my pastor.
Hey!
Me, I'm going to tell you whether you like it or not. Because I'm saving somebody's life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You see, to be angry on itself is not a sin. In fact, in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, somewhere there, the Bible tells us, be angry. You see, the Bible is saying, be angry. But your anger must not go to the next day. And Paul continues to say, be angry and sin not. So your anger must not cross the line when now you are sinning. Because it's normal to be angry. Your children can make you angry. Your partner can make you angry. I mean, let's say, you are all working, you go to work, your partner goes to work. When it's coming back now,
we try to pay there and there and build.
Before Muntabu, you say, puza yonke imali.
And Dubai.
Are you going to say, uzahleka?
Uzo smile.
Uzokwata.
Yebo, uzokwata
vele. It's normal.
Yebo, genzeka.
But that anger
kodwa lolo laka
should not cross over where you enter the realm of sin.
Malunga jump, lize lifike la wenza khona isono.
An out of control rage.
Nokuthi futhi ungabusa khona nokuzibamba.
Where you are doing things that afterwards you have regrets.
Lapho uzokwenza khona izinto ozothi suqedile uphinde uzisole.
Are you following what I'm saying? Some of you sitting here, the way you and your spouse, the way nilwanga khona,
the way you fight
in front of the children, the anger now is getting to a point where you are teaching the children that this is how normal life is, this is how we behave. Hello.
Yeah, amen.
It is a problem.
Inkinga le.
Pastor, how do I know when I have these problems?
Pastor, ngazi kanjani manginenkinga yokuthukuthela na?
When you are the type of person who, when you get angry, you shout.
Ilo muntu othi mangabe sekwatile umemeza. Umemeza.
That's shouting.
Lokho kumemeza kuwodwa nje.
It's a red flag.
Iduke libomvu.
Out of control shouting.
Lokho kungalawuleki.
Even your whole neighbors are saying, hey, kwenzekani-ke manje.
Noma khelwana bayophuma bethi, hey, sokwenzakaleni lapha.
Wow. Why don't you get angry and then allow yourself to calm down?
Yini ungathukutheliki ubusu uyazehlisa.
Before you act.
Anduba wenze.
Allow the feeling of rage and all that to come down. And then you can deal with the situation that you have. Because every time you try to deal with it while you are, your anger is at maximum, it always brings regret. Push your neighbor, say, come down, my friend. Come down. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Am I talking to somebody?
Amen.
When you are driving,
now I could drive him out.
And a taxi driver or another car,
we have very much
disturbs you.
Atiak pazamis.
It's a sign. It's a red flag that you have a problem. Hey. Now when I drive, when these people do these things, I just say, hey, look at this guy, and I move on. Because no matter how much I can shout, I shout at this, or even if we can fight, when I drive my car, another one will come and do the same. So are you now going to fight everyone before you get to work? You fight 10 people. And one day, I was driving my pastor's car. Are you following?
Amen.
And I was reversing in town. And I reversed. When I stopped, I stopped close to another car like this. And it wasn't doing anything. And I almost hit it. And I realized that I didn't see this car. It is only by the grace of God that I didn't hit it. That thing taught me a lesson one day. Because sometimes you tell yourself, I'm a good driver. I'm a best driver. And it gives you a certain pride. And that day I realized that it's only by the grace of God. Alright, let this be the last movement. There's too much movement. Let it be the last one. Hallelujah. What was I saying? I realized that I'm not the best driver in the world. It humbled me, the fact that I didn't see that car. It really humbled me. And that was the last time I called myself a good driver. And I realized that I'm just moving by the grace of God. Because anybody can make a mistake. So whenever anyone is doing anything, I don't, you know, just hallelujah. So these are the red flags that you will notice, or the signs that you will see that give you an indication that you've got a problem with this thing called wrath. And in God's eyes, it's iniquity, it's an evil. And it becomes worse when you allow that wrath to come out on your children, to come out on your family members, to come out on your neighbors. I noticed that I had a little bit of this problem when I got married. And I realized that I am a moody person. And I was the type of person that,
once you touch me,
I keep quiet. The
second time,
always three, no more, always four.
Third time or fourth time,
you will see a movie.
Ngizokubonisa ukuthi ngubani.
I was that type of person. I had a friend who used to like to tease me. Third time he had dreadlocks. I held the dreadlocks like this. And I hit him. So I was the type of person where I bottle the anger and it adds up. I allow it to grow and grow. And by the time that it explodes, it's a problem. And I thank God for my salvation. And And when I got married, especially because my wife is a bubbly person. And I used to be angry inside because she's happy. Her happiness used to make me angry. But I never told her, it was just inside. And one day, I asked myself a question. I said, "Sir, why are you angry?" And I started thinking about it. Did someone do anything? Nothing. Did someone say anything? Nothing. And I realized, I have a problem. And now when I sense the moodiness in me, I fight it and choose to be happy. Are you following what I'm saying? Are you understand the things that I'm trying to tell you? Am I helping your life, somebody?
Yeah.
So don't allow these things which are bad and evil to have expression. It's wrong to be angry to that level. It's wrong.
So,
when you feel it bubbling in you, suppress it. And choose not to yield to these emotions. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. On my notes here, it says that gossiping is also a manifestation of wrath. Because most of the people who gossip, they gossip with the intention to hurt the person that they are gossiping about. Hey. Tell a neighbor, say, stop your gossiping, my friend. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then I want to touch on envyings. Envyings. Hallelujah. Now, we've touched on envyings last week. Where when you notice that somebody has something that you do not have, or you cannot have, it makes you hate that person. Hello? It makes you hate that person. It's called envy. And I told you that there are two types of scenarios. Some years ago, I was doing Holy Ghost baptism. I was praying for people to receive the Holy Spirit. And then, when I laid my hands on one lady, she started manifesting demons. So, I was still new in this work. You see, now when I cast out demons, I don't want to hear what demons say. But back then, I used to interview demons. How did you come here? What's your name? So I don't do that anymore. Because I think God can give me that information. I don't have to interview demons for information. Hallelujah. So, but anyway, when the demons began to manifest that day, we cast them out. And then I asked the demon, I said, why did you come here? Where do you come from? And the demon said that I come from the ant. So after I had cast out the demons and spoken to the person, there were two sisters, and they both had children. And the one sister, the children were getting married and doing well. And the other sister, Her children were not married and they were not doing well. And this person became angry at her sister and her children that they are doing well and that they are getting married. Can you believe? What do they have to do with you and your children? Uncle, it's you and your children. Why are you getting angry at other people? So to a point where she went and did some manga
wahamba
and sent certain things on the children of the sister.
Why tumele abantwana balo sisi?
And these children were starting to have problems because of their aunt
who
was angry that they are getting married. Envy. So envy works. There's envy and then there's jealousy. Envy becomes angry, bitter, and has hatred when it sees someone doing well while you are not doing well. Jealousy operates a little bit differently, especially in relationships. The person is yours. The person is committed to you, but you suspect that they are doing some manga manga. And sometimes the people who are jealous, when you actually listen, you can see that this one has a problem. Has a problem. Recently, Mom Ruto was telling me about someone whom she works with. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So this person who works with Mom Ruto is female. And is married to someone. And this person, when he's wherever he is, he just has imaginations that my wife is cheating on me. And I've never met that lady. But Mom Ruth always tells me about her. And I said, when Mom Ruth told me, I said, Mom Ruth, I have never met this lady you are talking about. But I can tell you she's not cheating. Even though I've never met her. But this person who the person is married with, when he's sitting there and he closes his eyes, the wife is cheating. And so sometimes this person will come back home and be talking about work like we all do, right? With our partners, we tell them, okay, her work life was like this. So this husband will make a comment to say, hey, that one has a problem. And then the wife will say, no, no, it's not like that. Then the husband will say, why are you defending him? Why are you defending him? Is he the one you are cheating with me?
<Come on now. laughs>
My gosh. Mom Ruth was telling me that where she works, she's the only woman in a company of about 400 people. She's the only woman. Now imagine if I had jealousy. If I had this problem, I wasn't going to sleep at night. So there are people who have a problem with envying, and there are people who have a problem with jealousy. And if you allow these things to come out, you are entering the realm of sin. My brother once asked me and said, Pastor, well, he doesn't call me pastor, he's my brother. So he says, Booty.
What is my brother?
Manje, the Bible says that God is a jealous God. And the same Bible also tells us that jealousy is bad. Explain. It took me almost 5 years to explain. Because I didn't know the answer. Then one day I was reading my Bible. And I found that there is a righteous jealousy. A righteous jealousy. Umona. Okay, sorry. Hallelujah. You are a parent. You have a child. And you see your child playing with friends that you know are bad. And you will be jealous for your child. You will be jealous for the future of your child. And you'll say, I don't want you playing with these kids anymore. Because you can see that this is bad company for my child. And you'll be jealous for that child. You don't want them to be involved in bad things. It's a manifestation of love. Are you following what I'm saying?
Amen.
So there's a righteous jealousy. But there's also an evil and wicked jealousy. And the evil and the wicked jealousy, it harasses the other person, it oppresses the other person, and it makes the person feel like they are in prison. I think I came to the wrong church. Ask your neighbor, has my pastor dialed your number yet? You can live happily without envy and without jealousy. When my wife leaves the house, I am at very much peace. I don't have any imaginations whatsoever. Absolutely zero. Zero. And even if one tries to come to the mind, I say, stop right there. You are a lie from the devil, and I refuse to listen to you. And I continue in peace. Absolute peace. I don't ask her any questions. I don't need to. I'm in peace. Absolute peace. And she also has no problem whatsoever. Absolutely zero. In fact, we are next year will be 10 years in marriage. We've never had an argument of why that does one, that one. Why is that one? Almost 10 years of marriage, and even before we got married. Not one time. Who's that one calling you? Why is it? Absolutely zero. In almost 10 years. It's possible. And most of the people who have this problem, it's their imaginations. They are connecting things that are not there. Yesterday her phone had a password. And then yesterday when she answered her phone, she moved. 1, 2, 3 plus 5 minus 8. Ha! I'm a pastor. Sometimes when I sit down and I'm hearing certain things, how do you even connect these things? Hey! Can I tell you one of your problems, some of you here? I don't know whether you are being blessed by what I'm telling you. But some of you just want us to shout, what to Jesus? No, calm down. I want to deal with you little by little. I'm working on your heart. I'm just working on your heart little by little. I'll shout another day when God allows. Hallelujah. Hey. My gosh. I off-ramped, then I forgot my point. I shouldn't have off-ramped. Hallelujah. Now, what when I was researching this, there's something that I saw there that touched me when it comes to this problem of having envy. It says that envy is an issue of the heart that reveals a dissatisfaction with one's own circumstances. Ultimately rooted in lack of trust in God's perfect plan. In other words, someone who has a problem with envy is someone who has a problem with trusting God. Because as you look at your situation, you realize that you have not reached what you would like to reach. And other people are enjoying what you wish you could enjoy. And instead of trusting and believing in God, to say that Like the Bible says, God makes everything beautiful in its own time. The Bible says there's a season and a time for everything. So you do not have the ability to keep trusting God up until God shows his blessing upon your life, shows his favor upon your life, shows his anointing upon your life, shows his love upon your life. So you have a problem with trusting God and you are taking it out on other people. That is where the problem with envy is. The inability to rely and to trust and to believe in God up until God shows himself in your life. And it becomes bitterness against other people. Did you understand what I just tried to explain? So as a child of God, you just have to keep trusting God. Are you following what I'm saying? Mm. Push your neighbor, say, keep trusting God. Tell your neighbor, keep believing in God. Tell that neighbor, keep believing in God. Tell them, keep following God. At the right time. I said, at the right time, he will show up. Are you following me, somebody? Amen. Yeah. So don't come out of that realm of trusting him to a realm of being angry with other people because God has already started to bless them. Hallelujah. Me, I always tell myself that, you see, there are different types of plants. There are plants that when you put them in the garden, as a seed or a seedling, they grow very fast. But there are other plants or seeds which are supposed to become trees. And those ones take long to grow. So I always tell myself, when I realize certain things are taking too long, that it's because of what's coming. It's too big for you to just manifest like that. So God is working on it. God is working on it. The day it shows up. I said the day it shows up. That's what I always tell myself. And I keep trusting God. Hallelujah. Amen. I said hallelujah.
Amen.
Put your hands together for the Lord. So there's an envying that manifests when you are in a group. And then there's an envying that manifests because we have a problem with trusting God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then the next one is murders. Killing people. Hey. Now, some of your Bibles, it doesn't have the word murder there. Because there's an argument of whether there's a Greek word for it or not. There's all kinds of things. But when you get to the level where you kill someone, my friend, you have a problem. And when I read and study and meditate, I realize that any of the things that we have talked about up until we've gotten to murder, all of them can push someone to kill someone. David, let's talk about David. One day, he sent his armies to go on war. Because the Bible says, at the times when the kings were at war, David didn't go to war. A lot of you, when you sin at the time that you are supposed to be at church.
Hello?
When we are supposed to be fasting and praying, and you are left at home, chances are. you are busy sinning there. Because that's when David sinned. When he was supposed to be at war. He was moving around. In his house. Then his eyes saw a lady who was bathing. The rest is history. Then the lady said, came to the house.
He
said, Mr. David, I missed my cycle.
Man.
Hey! David said, what? And he said, hey, I think I'm pregnant, sir.
What, hey?
Then David said, how are we going to fix this one?
What is he doing, Sanjan?
Call your husband.
What is
and they called the husband. He was a soldier. He was busy at war. And they brought him back home. David said, ah, my friend, you are back. He said, you are doing a good job fighting for your country. And he spoke with him and everything. In the evening, he said, all right, go home. Thinking that, you know, they've spoken with the woman that, okay, when he gets home, tonight is tonight.
Hey.
So because the man was a true warrior, a soldier, he refused to enter his house. And he sat there by the stoop the whole night. So David found out that my plan didn't work.
David,
so why didn't you go home, my brother?
He
said, I can't be sleeping in my bed when my brothers are busy fighting. Some of you have the boldness to be yawning, swallowing the TV, swallowing the ceiling, everything, while we are fighting here at church and praying and doing spiritual warfare. And you are busy at home. That man was a true soldier. He said, I cannot be enjoying my bed while my brothers are fighting. So David tried again the second night. And even tried to get him a little bit drunk. But the guy refused to go into his house. So David said, how are we going to solve this problem? He wrote a letter to the captain of his army and put it in an envelope and gave it to this brother. I think his name was Uriah. And he said, go back to the war and give this letter to Job. In the letter, the king had written how that this guy who's holding the letter must die. And so the king said, go and fight and put the guy in front. When the battle is hot, step back so that the enemy can deal with him. And so when Job read the letter, he said, all right.
What, okay.
And they did it, and the guy died.
That
murder came as a result of adultery. A lot of the other sins give birth to the other sins. The Bible says Jesus was killed because of envy. The people were envying the gift of God and the relationship that he had with God. And they envied him and they killed him because of envy. So, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying that all the things that we've talked about up to this point, if you don't deal with them, one day they will embarrass you. One day. I have some church members. They phone Mom Ruth because sometimes when they are doing their silly things, they are afraid to call me. So they phone Mom Ruth.
Mom
Ruth, I'm in jail. When she tells me,
jail!
How can a church member be in jail? Church member. In jail. These little sins, if you don't arrest them, one day they'll give you a big problem. Hallelujah. At its worst, you can even kill people.
At
its worst. Hello?
Amen.
One day, a certain brother stopped coming to church. 1 week he didn't come. 2 weeks he wasn't there. Then the people in church started asking each other, where's brother so and so? So they decided to go and visit him. When they got to the house, they said, the person you are looking for is in jail.
Jail?
I mean, just not long ago, we were in church with the guy. Then they told them how the guy was in jail. He was at home, busy swallowing everything. And then his friend came at night and said, you are busy here sleeping when somebody is taking your girlfriend. So let's go. So they went. I don't know whether it was smokehouse or whether what house it was. And indeed the girl was sitting next to her brother.
They
are
laughing and smiling.
And then the guy came and said, and pushed the guy and said, hey, this is my girl. And then the other one said, I'm not afraid of you. And then this brother, the church guy,
he
said, wait here, I'm coming back. And he left. He went home and he took a scissor. And he came back. And he said,
yo.
And then stabbed the guy with the scissor. From what I hear, he hit him one time. And the other guy just went straight to the ground and died. His whole life is ruined. Whole life is ruined. You just keep missing church. You don't understand that being in the house of God is a covering. And if your pastor is like me,
may
I tell you, if that girl is moving around and going, she is not worth you. Leave that foolish person. He's a fool. Leave that person. Hello?
Amen.
Instead of saying, nobody can take my girl. You're a fool yourself if you are talking like that. If the person is moving around cheating, they don't deserve you. Only this side they are saying amen. This side you don't agree. You don't agree. A person who is cheating on you, don't fight for the person. Don't waste your time. Just relieve them. Continue go cheating, but here no more. It's over. Imagine you are going to fight with another guy or another sister.
Hey,
that's my man. That's my wife. That's my husband. Me, I'm too valuable to be fighting nonsense fights. If you don't love me, my friend, go. It will be painful, I'll be hurt, but I'll move on. Because life is not you, life is God. Can I hear a louder
amen?
Somebody say, life is God, life is God. Hallelujah. Now, while we are on the subject of murder, there are two types of murders that Jesus or the Bible tells us about. In the book of 1 John chapter 3 verse 15, it tells us that if you hate your brother, you have committed murder. So hatred in scripture is equivalent to murder. As
I hate my sister.
You're a murderer in God's eyes. You've killed her already. I hate my boss. In God's eyes, you're a murderer, my friend. Hallelujah. Me, I hate that. Oh, I hate it. It's murder. In God's eyes. And the Bible says, no murderers will enter heaven. Another type of murder that the Bible talks about is in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18. When the Bible says, when God tells you to go tell the wicked about his iniquity, and you don't tell the person, and the person dies in his iniquity, you have killed that person. I will require the blood from your hands. So when you are a Christian, you don't pray. You don't go for outreaches. You don't go for evangelism. You are not involved in any way, shape, or form in God's work. You are a murderer. You are a chairperson. You come and sit. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
When we are dancing, we are dancing. And then you go home.
We are humble kai.
That's the end of your Christianity. And then you remember on Sunday, hey, come back, my Christian.
Uthawu, konje ngumzalwane, uyasula, ubuyela khona. Uthintithi intule.
On Sunday.
Ngesonto.
Some of you don't even bring a Bible. You don't even have a Bible.
Christian.
Mr. Christian. Miss Christian. That's your whole Christianity. You remember that you're a Christian on Sunday. That's even if you remember. And you have the information that can save a life. That for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You have that power, that information, you have that life, and you only keep it to yourself. When people die, ah, Hashem. Some of us even cry, oh, Jesus. But you never told them. Your tears are what we call crocodile tears. They're useless tears. Useless tears. Useless
tears.
A whole Christian. Some of you have been Christian 10 years. Some of you 15 years. Some of you 20 years. And you can't tell anybody about Jesus. Zero. Your life doesn't affect anybody for God. And you have the information in your heart. And you keep it to yourself.
When
you
valela kwena ngaphakathi.
The Bible says God will ask the blood of all those people.
IBhayibheli lithi igazi labo bonke labo bantu labo.
In your hands.
Ezandleni zakho liyobuzwa.
One day I was talking to my little daughter.
Bengikhuluma nedaza yami encane.
We were sitting somewhere waiting for her mother.
Sihleli silinde uma wakhe.
And she asked me about hell.
Ungibuza ngesihogo.
So I started teaching her what is hell. What is heaven? How do you go to heaven? And what causes you to go to hell? And I went to the internet and I googled hell and I was showing her pictures there. And I said, you see, this is how hell looks like. And she said,
woo.
And she said, Daddy, I don't want to go to hell. And I said, my daughter, that's why your father left everything and became a preacher.
It's
my job is to stop all the people on their way there and show them that you must go to heaven. That's my job. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah. You must be ashamed of yourself. If you are a Christian, but your life doesn't shine, doesn't tell anybody about
Jesus,
you must be ashamed. A Christian that must be ashamed of themselves year after year. Nobody that you are affecting with your light. Something is wrong with your Christianity. And if you are not careful, God will see you as a murderer.
Are you
following what I'm saying? Yeah. Then the last two ones. As you are seeing me, I'm also waiting for the food because the food, Mom Ruthie went to fetch the food. So I'm preaching while waiting at the same time. The last two points I want to give you, well, three. The Bible talks about drunkenness. Hallelujah. Hello.
Amen.
Now it still surprises me how a Christian can be drunk. And then on Sunday, on Friday, tell anyone, say,
I'm Zalwan.
It's not right, that one. If you are my church member, you would know Proverbs chapter
31,
where Solomon's mother was advising Solomon and preparing him for his future. And in the Bible, in Proverbs 31, it calls him Lamuel, from verse 1 going down. And he said,
Lamuel,
strong drink is not for kings. In the book of Revelation chapter
1,
the Bible tells us that Christ has made us priests and kings unto God. Your salvation has made you a king. Your salvation has made you a priest. And the Bible says strong drink is not for kings. You don't believe what I'm saying? Let's read it. Read for me, Sihle. Proverbs 31. Read verse 1. Let's do it quickly.
Isaiah 31.
Mm-hmm.
From verse 1.
Yes.
Amazwi. Kalamweli inkosi yasemasa awafundiswa ngunina.
Mhm.
Yini indodana yami, yini indodana yesizalo sami, yini indodana yezithembiso zami. Unganiki abesifazane amandla akho nezindlela zakho kwababhubhisa amakhosi. 4. Akusikho okwamakhosi lamuweli. Akusikho okwamakhosi ukuphuza iwayini.
How? Akusikho kwani?
Okwamakhosi ukuphuza iwayini.
To drink. Strong drink.
Amen.
Now go to Revelation chapter 1 and read verse 5.
Isambulo 1 ku verse 5.
Mhm.
Naku Jesu uKristu ufakazi othembekayo izibulo labafileyo nombusi wamakhosi omhlaba kuye osithandayo. Nowa sikhululayo ezonweni zethu ngegazi lakhe. 6. Nowa senza sibe ngumbuso nabapriesti kuNkulunkulu uyise kuye makube inkazimulo namandla kuze kube phakathi.
NgesiZulu ithi umbuso. In English it says he has made us kings. Amen. And priests. So in God's eyes you are a king.
Singamakhosi.
In God's eyes you are a priest.
Singabapriest.
And the same Bible says that it is not for kings.
Liphinde lithi akusikho kwamakhosi.
To drink strong drink.
Ukuphuza uphuzo olunamandla.
To drink wine.
Ukuphuza iwayini.
So as a believer,
wena njengokholwayo,
that strong drink, wine, alcohol,
lobo tjwala,
any intoxicating thing.
Lokho nje wena ukuhlanganisa.
Dacha, drugs, what have you?
Ama drugs nentsangu.
Is not for you as a child of God.
Akusikho kwakho njengomntwana kaNkuluNkulunkulu.
When you delve into that realm,
mangabe uhleli kulelo
ndawo, you are allowing the iniquity that is in you.
Uvumela lobububi obukuwena
to have expression.
Buziveze.
And that is sin.
Isono leso.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh pastor,
mfundisi.
It's not easy to leave it.
Akululu kuyeka lezi zinto yazi.
My friend, let's leave it to God.
Nika kuNkulunkulu.
And let's push and try.
Uhambe uzame.
Don't just yield to it.
Ungavele uvume.
Let's push and try.
Ilwa uzame.
Push and never say push and try. Push and try.
Uzame.
Tell the neighbor the Lord will help you.
Nkosi yokusiza.
God But if you yield to it,
it's
a sin.
We saw no.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I said hallelujah.
Amen.
Anything that is addictive,
no ma yini nje wena esizijwayelekile kuwe,
is sin.
Isono.
Are you following what I'm saying?
Amen.
Yeah. And then the last one in this Galatians chapter 5, it talks about revelings, isn't it?
Ukuxokozela.
And these revelings is parties, wild parties.
Amaphathi amakhulu.
You know there are parties where we are celebrating, it's your birthday.
We are happy.
You have a cake. We have cold
drink.
We celebrate and go home. Ah, then there are other parties. These parties, Paul has mentioned them in scripture. They are sinful. If your feet are in that environment, you are sinning. People are drinking and getting drunk. One brother told us one day, he said that he used to drink so much that on Saturday, he'll be drinking somewhere. Sunday morning,
he'll
be waking up in Joburg. When did the decision come to go to Joburg? How they got there? Whether they used a train, a car, a taxi, or they flew to Joburg? Just waking up in Joburg the next day. There are types of parties that by the time a person wakes up, they can't remember anything. And people are showing them videos. These types of parties, the Bible calls them sin. It is the expression of sinful nature. Parties where there's drugs. Parties where you are grooving with people who are holding guns. How can you be even comfortable in such a situation? When they get angry, hey! And you are there as a child of God. You are there. You are there. I've never been in anything like that ever in my life. Ever. It started with my parents. I had a curfew. 6 p.m. you are in the house. As I was getting older, 6 p.m. was too early. But my mother was a soldier. To a point that I'm angry with her lately because she doesn't have the same rules for my brothers that she had for me. If I would come after 6, I never forget one day I came home after 6 and she said to me, I will disown you. You will never be my child again. I remember those words. So when my friends were saying, I'm going to a party, you know that Baba that I wish I'm coming with you, but, but I don't have a choice. Now when I look back, all these things saved me. One day, one of my friends came back at school. His head was like this. And then what happened? Party.
Party.
What type of party that you go there, you come back, your head is like this?
Are
people like it? Sometimes you will see on social media, they'll be spinning a car and they'll be coming close. And you are just watching and you can see that this one is going to become a problem. But they love it. They keep going there. And every now and then you will see a car spinning and hit them. Boom! I can just imagine God will ask you, so my child, how did you die? What a useless death.
Oh, wafaga bi as.
Useless death.
Wafaga bi.
Hallelujah. Ask your neighbor, are you tired? Ask your neighbor, are you tired of hearing life? I tell you the last one, then we close. The last one is not in Galatians chapter 5. It's in Matthew 25. And I call it laziness. Push your neighbor, say we are closing now. Rirapela morimu, rirapela Jesu, rirapela morimu, wamitholo. Let's read verse 24. Are we there? Matthew 25 and verse 24. Are we all there?
Amen.
The Bible says, Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. Verse 26 says, his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. Thou wicked and slothful servant. And this wickedness is this iniquity that we are talking about. So the laziness, Jesus called it wickedness. Hallelujah. Then the laziness is wickedness. Especially where God is concerned. Like I said in the retreat, some of God's children are very lazy. Some of us sitting here, we have a problem of laziness. Some of you, when we are calling for meetings and gatherings, church meetings, prayers, fasting, and whatever, the only reason you don't pitch up is because you are lazy. No other reason, just because you are lazy. It's not a demon. You are not busy. You are just lazy. I knew you won't say amen, but I will tell you even if you don't want to. Just laziness. And the Bible calls it wickedness. Every single child of God, when God brought you to this planet, He deposited gifts in you. At the end of your life, when you meet Him face to face, He's going to ask you, what did you do with your gifts? And many of you, many Christians are
going
to be like this guy. I hid it. Here, take it back, unused, never touched. God is going to say, you wicked and lazy servant. Many of God's children have just buried the giftings that God has placed in them. You know, one day, this little daughter of mine here, I went to one of the Bible study groups that they have. And she told me, she said, Pastor, I catch a train at 5 in the morning. Not that I'm waking up at 5. I catch a train at 5 in the morning to go to work. And she arrives back home around to 7. So on Thursdays, when she comes back from work, that she caught a train at 5 in the morning, coming back at 2:07, she'll come to a Bible study group. Tuesday, she's always here. Bible study group, she's sharing. She's not the type of person, what are you saying? She's sharing. And then one of the things that the reason why I'm mentioning her, because that particular Thursday, I had asked her to do some things. She came to the Bible study group. She participated. After that, she went home, where she still has to cook and everything and get ready for the next day. And she still did what I asked her to do. You're not waking up at 5, catching any train to anywhere. Pastor, I'm tired. Everything you are tired. It's not you are tired, you are lazy.
No,
say amen.
Amen.
I can't preach properly when I don't hear amen. Especially when I'm talking the truth.
You're
just lazy. Hey!
Hey!
This brother here. After the retreat, I gave them some work to do. A good leader. Makes you work. Some of you, your bosses make you work and you hate them. You hate them because you are lazy.
Hello?
I say you hate them because you are what?
Lazy.
Sometimes the hatred is birthed out of laziness. So I gave them some information. At 2 a.m. He was sending things at 2 a.m. In the morning he'll be getting ready to go to work. To a point where I send him a text, I say, sleep now, sleep. You.
When?
I'm tired. I'm tired.
You like this song of tired?
It's your favorite track in life.
Tired.
I just came to warn you. Thou wicked and slothful servant. Thou wicked and slothful servant. We have many dreams as a church. These dreams will not happen out of the blue. They need work. And we need children of God who are ready to work. To reach Nelmapias. To reach Mamelodi. To reach everywhere where God has called us to reach. Many years ago, I saw myself preaching to Chinese. And I realized that before I die, I must preach to Chinese. For us to get there, it will take work. Some of you are like, hey, Pastor Mara, hey, Pastor, I got to call you. You are sitting down, but you are already tired. I'm preaching, but you are tired. I should be the one who's saying I'm tired. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Laziness is also a manifestation of the flesh. You realize when you wake up in the morning. One time I was waking up. And I heard a voice. And the voice said to me, oh, you know, sleeping is nice. And I said, because you said that. I said, just for saying that, I'm going to pray harder than what I prayed last time. I understood it was the flesh telling me to go back to sleep. And I said, because I understand that I am a spirit, I have a soul, I live in a body. So I realized that the body is communicating and I'm saying, go back to sleep. I said, I don't listen to the body.
Ngathi nyama mina ngeke ngulalele ke namhlanje.
John chapter 1.
John.
In the beginning, for God so loved the. Usaqala, you are not even in verse 2.
Verse 2.
And you put it down.
We are touching beggar lap.
Lazy. Lazy. Some of you, your laziness can't allow you to come to church the whole month, Sunday after Sunday.
You can't come to church.
And many of you, if I could go to church while during the preaching, I tell the people, okay, let me come now. Let me go to the people where they live. I will find you tending in bed. In pyjamas. On a Sunday. You think that people are doing something serious? Yeah, sometimes, every now and then. But most of the time, the Bible says, like a door openeth and such it. So a lazy person turns in the bed. It's a scripture in Proverbs. I just want you to remember this scripture. Thou wicked and slothful servant.
Ncegu embi evilaphayo ubukwazi ukuthi ngivuna lapha ngihlwanye ngingahlanyelanga khona ngibutha lapha ngingafa.
Another sign of lazy people is they are always blaming someone else.
Bahlale bekhomba abanye.
This one was saying, I didn't do this because I knew that you are a hard man. I knew that you are a... They say, I didn't work because of you.
Ithi mina ngisebenzanga ngenxa yakho.
Lazy people like to point.
Abantu abangamavila bayathanda ukukhomba.
There are some people till today, after 30 years that apartheid is finished, they are still blaming apartheid. After 30 years. There are some people who were born after
94.
They didn't taste any apartheid. And they still blame it.
God abasa blame.
You didn't taste it. You didn't live in it. But you blame it. Not remembering that when it was time to study, you were playing with your friends. And then you say, hey, abelungu, I was small. That time you are born after
94. When
you notice yourself that you blame yourself for your you blame other people for your conditions.
Why parents often neglect abanye abantu ngesimo sakho?
It's a sign.
Idukele bomvulelo.
That you suffer from laziness.
Lokuthi wena unenkinga yobuvila.
There's nobody to blame but yourself.
Akekho ngamgxeka.
There's nobody to blame but myself.
Akekho futhi ongagxeka wena.
Every situation that we experience,
isimo sonke sibhekana naso.
Nobody else but you. Push your neighbor, say nobody else but you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hey, Pastor, as umsebenza wuko. Hey, gubi. Hey, or Ramaphosa. Hey, corruption. Hey. One brother told me, he said, Pastor, I was looking for a job. So I took my CV. I didn't send it. I went. I'm looking for a job. No, there's no job here. Hello, how are you? My name is, I'm looking for a job. No, there's no job here. Hello, how are you? I'm looking for a job. Oh, you're looking for a job. Let's see your CV. Okay,
no.
Interview. Got a job.
You? When you land, we are pendulum.
And you are looking for a job. I know the amens are going to be very difficult. When Mam Ruti finished
school,
she was pregnant with our daughter. Pregnant like that. Hello, looking for a job. One of the people somewhere in Silverton. You are pregnant. No job for you.
Okay,
thank you. Bring my CV. Hello? Looking for a job. No job here. Hello? Looking for a job. Till she found. A job doesn't come while you are turning. And then you say there are no jobs. They will not come chasing you, my friend.
Are you angry for me?
Okay. but it's the truth. They will not come looking. A job doesn't go looking for people. You go look for it. Stop blaming people. Hello? Tell your neighbor, tell them, stop blaming people. Put your hands together for Jesus. Let's rise to our feet. Hallelujah. Yeah. Put your hands together for yourself. I'm very proud of you. From when we started this series, you've been coming along. And I pray to my God that somewhere, the Lord touched your heart and changed your life. Hallelujah. Yeah. And even though sometimes the things that I say are not so nice to hear, I'm building you. If somebody could just listen to what I said today, before the end of the year, you'll have your own job. But someone may be fighting me, oh, pastor doesn't understand. Okay, thank you. I'm sorry, thank you. It's all right. I want you to talk to your God. Say, Heavenly Father, I have heard your word. It is my desire, Lord, to be like Jesus. Help me through your word that I will keep under control all the iniquity that wants to manifest itself. Open your mouth and talk to God. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this powerful word of God. We believe you are blessed. For more inquiry, please visit www.healingfireministries.org or email us at info@healingfireministries.com or call us at 072-591-2858. May God bless you.